intentional.
Well, you know, today is the second Torah portion in Shemot. It's called Va'ira, which means, and I appeared. In the first two Torah portions in Exodus, we see the unfolding purpose of God to deliver His people from slavery and bondage in Egypt. And God first appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and then to Moses in the burning bush, as we read this morning in the New Covenant reading, and revealed His sacred name as the great I Am. He then appeared to the children of Israel, and then to the Egyptians, you know, through supernatural plagues that He brought down upon Egypt. And God's purpose was to enter into human history and to deliver a nation of people within another nation. So He might appear, Va'ira, sanctify and make Himself known in the eyes of all the nations, and to demonstrate His power and reveal that there is only one true God in heaven and on earth. And Adonai told Pharaoh, "For this purpose I have raised you up, so that I may show my power in you, that my name may be declared in all the earth." You know, there's no other time in history where God ever appeared in such a dramatic manner and revealed Himself in such a way as He did during the Exodus in Egypt. And it says in Deuteronomy 4, "So for ask now concerning the days that are past, which were before you, since the day that God created man on the earth, and asked from one end of heaven to the other, whether any great thing like this has ever happened, or anything like this has ever been done. Did any people ever hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire as you have heard and live? And that God went in with signs and wonders and with miracles and with a mighty hand, and He brought His people out." Now, 4,000 years later, we are still talking about the Exodus from Egypt. We're coming up to Passover in April, end of March, April. And we tell the story of Passover every year. We've been doing this for centuries. And how awesome it was. But you know, no other generation in history has ever witnessed the mighty power of Adonai as that first generation did. However, something even greater happened 2,000 years ago. Yeshua HaMashiach came into the world and He manifested Himself in human flesh and Va'ira, and He appeared to the sons of Israel and revealed Himself as the Messiah, their Savior and Redeemer of Israel and the world. And He demonstrated His power through signs, through wonders, through miracles, and a mighty hand. And He delivered His people out of spiritual bondage, of sin, from the spiritual Pharaoh of this world, in order to create a new community of faith. And Adonai demonstrated His authority and His omnipotent power through the Messiah to demonstrate that there is no other God or Savior besides Him. No other generation in history has ever witnessed Adonai becoming flesh and dwelling among men and performing such signs and wonders and mighty works as Yeshua did. And the greatest miracle of all was when Yeshua rose from the dead and He defeated death, man's greatest enemy. And Lord will Va'ira, He will appear once again. And we believe that we are the generation chosen by God to witness His appearing. You know, Hebrews 9:28. Messiah was offered once to bear the sins of many. He will appear, Va'ira, a second time, not to deal with our sins, but to deliver those who are eagerly waiting for Him. Those who are eagerly waiting for His coming. You know, He's not going to come as a thief of the night for those who are waiting or expecting. Only those who are not prepared and did not believe in His coming. But we are eagerly waiting for His coming. I know that I am. And so it's a great generation to be alive, to witness all that we are witnessing today. You know, in last week's parasha, we learned how Moshe was fearful and unwilling to obey God's calling on his life to go to Egypt and deliver the children of Israel from slavery. And Moses gave a number of excuses of why he didn't want to go. He said, "Who am I?" He said, "I'm a nobody. I'm not qualified. Who's going to listen to an 80-year-old man? I can't speak. I'm slow of speech and tongue. He says, can't you send somebody else? But Lord saw something in Moses that Moses did not see in himself. God saw the potential of what Moses would become. See, Moses was not confident in who he was. Just like many of us are not confident when God commands us or calls us to do a certain task. God wants us to be obedient when he calls us. Because he promises to equip us and to empower us to do what he knows we can do if only we learn how to trust in him and to believe that he is able, he is more than able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all those who ask and think. But you know, Moses spent 40 years in Egypt learning their culture, their customs, and the language. He then spent 40 years in the desert learning to be a shepherd. And so it took God 40 years to get Egypt out of Moses, to get the world in the flesh out of Moses, so that he could become the instrument that Adonai chose to bring deliverance to his people. So this week's Torah portion opens with God speaking to Moses, revealing the importance of his holy name. It says, God spoke further to Moses and said to him, I am Adonai. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as El Shaddai. Yet by my name Adonai, I did not make myself known to them. Meaning to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then this portion goes on to describe, this is the portion that Lois read as in the reading today. It was part of her bar mitzvah last year, bat mitzvah. Let's just read this once again. When the Lord revealed who his name, I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at El Shaddai. Yet by my name, Yod Heh Vav Heh, Adonai, I made myself known to them. And as I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage where they journeyed. Furthermore, I heard the groaning of Bnei Israel, the sons of Israel, whom the Egyptians are keeping in bondage. So I remembered my covenant. Therefore, says to Bnei Israel, and this is where the origin of the four cups of the Passover Seder that we'll be partaking of, you know, during Passover, the four cups correspond to these four I wills. I am Adonai, and I will bring you out from under the burden of the Egyptians. The cup of sanctification, I will deliver you from their bondage, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. I will take you to myself as a people, and I'll be your God, and you will know that I am Adonai your God who brought you out from under the burden of the Egyptians. So I will bring you into the land that I swore to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, and give it to you as an inheritance, for I am Adonai. And so after Moses heard these words, he said to Adonai, if the sons of Israel, Moses spoke to this way to Bnei Israel, but they did not listen to him because of their broken spirit and cruel bondage. So Adonai told Moses, go speak to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, so he will let the sons of Israel go out of this land. But Moses said to Adonai, the sons of Israel have not listened to me, so how will Pharaoh listen to me? And the Lord later told Pharaoh, I think this one here. He says to Pharaoh, let my people go so they may serve me. For this time I will send all my plagues to your heart and on your servants and your people, so you may know that there is none like me in all the earth. Surely by now I would have stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with a plague that would have wiped you off the earth. However, I have let you stand for this reason, to show you my power and that my name might be proclaimed throughout all the earth. See, God's purpose was to demonstrate his power and to proclaim that his name is greater than all the gods of Egypt, that he alone is God and there is no other. That's why we proclaim the Shema every week. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord alone is one, and there is no other God that we worship. There's only one true God of heaven and on earth. Now, this morning I want to share the significance of God's name, because this is an important truth in this week's parasha. I know that there are some in our congregation who have a conviction about the correct pronunciation of Adonai's name, Yod Heh Vav Heh, so we're going to talk about that today. What does it mean, first of all, what does it mean to proclaim God's name? To proclaim God's name means to reveal God's character. His person, His power, His authority, His glory. See, the revelation of God's name is a theme that runs through the entire account of the 10 plagues and the exodus from Egypt. In this week's parasha, if you read it, 7 of the 10 plagues are mentioned in this week's parasha in Vayera. The blood, the frogs, the goats, the flies, the death of the livestock, the boils and the hail. And next week's Torah portion, the last three plagues are released on Egypt. Locusts, darkness, and death of the firstborn. And the death of the firstborn represents a whole foundation for the beginning of the Passover. The Lord told Pharaoh that I have raised you up and allowed you to remain to show you my power. Even the children of Israel had never witnessed God's power. No other generation had ever witnessed the kind of power that God was going to demonstrate upon Egypt. The whole Exodus story began with God revealing His name to Moses at the burning bush and saying to Moses, I am who I am. He said, when the sons of Israel ask you who I am, tell them, I am has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and the name by which I should be remembered from generation to generation. And when Moses delivered his message to Pharaoh, the Pharaoh protested that he had never heard of the name of the Lord. Well, he was about to know the name of the Lord. He says, who is the Lord that I should obey him? I did not know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go. Now, in this week's parasha, the Lord explained to Moses that he had revealed his name to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as El Shaddai, the Lord Almighty. But he had not revealed his name as I am or Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh to them. I was not known to them by that name. But God struck Egypt with a series of 10 plagues and delivered Israel in order to make his name known throughout all the earth. The signs and the wonders that he brought upon Egypt revealed who he was. You know, the El Shaddai, the Lord Almighty, who was able to deliver his people from the greatest empire of that day. And the Passover in Exodus, you know, we always, as a Messianic community, we know that we celebrate two Passovers, the first Passover in Egypt, but it all foreshadowed a greater and more ultimate Passover in the person of the Messiah. And so the first Passover foreshadowed Messiah's Passover. And during the Passover season, Yeshua prayed to the Father in John 17. And part of that prayer, he said in verse 4, I have finished the work which you have given me to do. I have manifested your name to the men you have given me out of the world. I have manifested your name to the men you have given me out of the world. This did not mean that he taught his disciples to pronounce the holy name, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, as it's spelled. It means that he revealed God's glory, his character, his power, and his authority by who he did, by what he did, and what he represented. For three years, he displayed God's power through his miraculous signs and wonders and his powerful word. As he reclined at the night at Passover, he was about to fully reveal the power in God's name, to the ultimate sign, his resurrection from the dead, man's greatest enemy. Now, I may be stepping on some toes here, so forgive me in advance if some of you may be a bit offended by what I'm going to say. There are some groups today and a number of Messianic believers who emphasize that using the divine name, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, however it may be pronounced as Jehovah or Yahuwah or Yahweh or Yah and so on, there's more spiritual power and blessing released when this name is used. And this is often due to an incorrect understanding of the use of the name in Hebrew thought. For example, in Joel 2:32, it says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, will be saved. Does this mean that we have to call out the right pronunciation of God's name to be saved? I don't think that's how we understand that. The word name in Hebrew means Shem. In Hebrew understanding, a name relates to a person's essence, their being, their character, their attributes, their power, position, and authority. To say that we are saved if we pronounce the name of the Lord is being presumptuous. To take the emphasis off God's character and the meaning behind His name and place it upon it's on our actions, meaning our own pronunciation rather than our trust in God, is again presumptuous. Likewise, consider Yeshua. He never said to the people, your correct use of God's name has made you whole. It's your faith that has made you whole. Yeshua said, in my name, those who believe in my name, those who believe in my name, you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall be healed. It's not the name itself, but the power and the authority in that name. And Yeshua identified himself as the I Am, just as Adonai revealed who he was to Moshe. Yeshua identified himself as the great I Am. And the meaning of I Am is in essence saying, I am whatever you need. I am whatever you need. Yeshua said, I am the bread of life. He who believes in me shall not hunger. And he who trusts in me will not thirst. I am the door into eternal life. I am the way, the truth, and life. I am the light of the world. He who walks in my light shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of light. I am the resurrection and life. He who believes in me shall never die. I am the good shepherd who lays down my life for my sheep. Before Abraham was, I am. I am the Alpha and the Tav, the beginning and the end. Yeshua is the great I Am because he represents everything that we need in this life. I am whatever you need. See, if the whole correct pronunciation of God's name activates the Spirit of God to move in power, the whole emphasis of the Bible on a trusting relationship with the Heavenly Father is replaced by a mystical idea that the right pronunciation, rather than the right heart attitude, is what God cares about. There have been claims that miracles have been done because God's divine name was used. But there's a problem with this. Because if we adopt this mindset, we're saying that a miracle was done because I pronounced the right name for God, not because of God's love. God loves me and in mercy answered my prayer. Now, God may have worked miracles in cases where His divine name was used, but we've also witnessed miracles in the name of Jesus. And we know that Jesus was not what Yeshua was called when He walked on the earth. Miracles are done because of God's love, His mercy, our faith in who He is. Now, there are Messianic believers today who claim that the name Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh should be pronounced as I said, Jehovah, Yahuwah, Yahweh, Yah, and Yahweh. Just this past week, I had a lengthy conversation with someone that called me. And he tried to convince me that the name Yahuwah is the correct way to pronounce Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. He gave me a video clip to look at that he wrote here. You know, one of the leaders of this movement has a Bible that they translated. And he gave me a link to a video of some authority figure who claims this. And he was very convinced that this is the way that Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh would be pronounced, Yahuwah. And so each one believes that there is a correct way to pronounce the divine name. And I'm still not convinced. And I don't believe that as a congregation we should promote any one of these names. There's still some question as to the correct pronunciation of Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh because there are no vowels in the original Hebrew. And that's why Judaism and the majority of Messianic Jews today use the name Adonai or Hashem or Lord or God or Elohim. But no, there's an important truth that I want to emphasize and for us to understand. It's not our name that defines us. It's not our name that defines us. It's our actions. Our character, our behavior, our attitude. Now, for example, when I say, think of someone, say, is Michael Webb here? Michael Webb here? He's out there somewhere. Well, when I think of Michael Webb, it's not his name that defines him. It's who's behind that name. When I think of Michael, I think of someone who is faithful, intelligent, kind, and caring. When I think of Dennis Holland has been with us for many years. And I think of Dennis as being very trustworthy, very loyal, very faithful. Whenever I ask, he's always there. He's a man of action. Whenever I ask him to do something, he's on it right away. When I think of Ardeth is in the room. You know, I think of Ardith as someone who is kind and generous, who's faithful, who's quiet but humble, and she's trustworthy. And so it's our attitudes, our action, and our character, our passion, our love for others that defines who we are. The fruit of the Spirit is an expression of Messiah's nature in us. Do you walk in love for others? Are you joyful? Do you have an inner peace? Are you patient with others? Are you a good person? Are you faithful, kind, and gentle? Do you exercise self-control? These are the inner qualities, the character of the Messiah that lives and dwells in us, and that's what defines who we are. You have a name, each one of us have a name that identify who we are, but the real you is what people think of you when they think or hear your name. What kind of person are you? Because I can look at each one of you, those of I may have known for a number of years, and you have a name, but there's something behind that name that defines the kind of person that you are. You know, in the scriptures, Adonai is called by many names. And each one of them reveal an attribute of his character, his nature, and who he is. Isaiah 7:14 says his name should be called Emmanuel, God with us. Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, a son is given to us, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, El Gabor, the Mighty God, Father of Eternity, Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace. You know, when the Lord appeared to Moses and said that he is the I Am, I believe that what the Lord was saying is that I am everything that you need in this life. I am the Omnipotent One, I'm Omnipresent, I'm Omniscient, I'm Love, I'm Truth, I'm Righteousness, I'm your Rock, I'm your Shield, I'm your Fortress, I'm the God of the Armies of Heaven, I'm your Salvation and your Deliverer, I'm Justice, I'm the Beginning and the End. There are over 100 names in God's Word that describes God's attributes, his character, and who he is. You know, in the book of Ephesians, that we'll be studying in this coming week, there is one word that is mentioned 96 times more than any other word, and it's the word in. A small word, but it reveals a very important truth. We've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places only because we are in him. In him are hidden all the riches of wisdom and knowledge. In him we were chosen before the foundation of the world. In him we have been predestined to be adopted sons of God. In him we have redemption through his blood. In him we have been given the Holy Spirit of promise. In him we have a rich inheritance that awaits us. In him we've been seated together with him in the heavenly places. See, what more in life do we need that he hasn't already provided for us? We have everything in him. All these blessings are found in who he is. We've been grafted into his name and all the richness of his name. His name is written in our hands and in our hearts. But having said this, I do respect those in our congregation who may have conviction on the Adonai sacred name. And I hope that you are trying to be sensitive and not attempt to influence others. But I trust that we will learn to respect one another in spite of some of our differences. And that we will not judge one another because of a conviction we may hold is not really a salvation issue. There's a good word here in Titus 3:8 and 9. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want to affirm constantly, so that those who have put their trust in God may be careful to devote themselves to good deeds. These things are good and beneficial for people. But avoid foolish controversies and genealogies and strife and disputes about the Torah, for they are unprofitable and useless. But let me just kind of conclude my message by sharing some prophetic truths about God's name. You know, God promised that in these last days, he will make his name known, not only to Israel and God's people, but to all the nations of the earth. That we're living in incredible days. No other generation has ever witnessed what we have witnessed. and what we will one day witness. Because, you know, Israel is God's key to world redemption. Because of Israel's rejection of Yeshua, they missed the day of their visitation. And because of sin, disobedience, and unbelief, Jerusalem was destroyed, and Israel was scattered among the nations for 2,000 years. But then something miraculous happened in 1948. A nation was born in a day. And God's people began to return from exile from among the nations. In just 70 years, the world has witnessed the land of Israel being supernaturally transformed. The desolate places rebuilt, the cities inhabited, the people returning. In 1967, Israel regained possession of their holy city of Jerusalem. You know, Israel has grown from just 600,000 people to a nation of 8 million today. Since 1948, Israel has fought 8 wars that have threatened their existence. They've been involved in two intifadas. They've been involved in a series of armed conflicts that have been ongoing. And today, they're stronger than ever. And they're still a nation today. They have not been annihilated. They've not been destroyed. Because it was God's appointed time for them to return. And no man, no principality or power of darkness will be able to ever uproot them from their land that God promised. And so the nations are in uproar over Jerusalem and Mr. Trump's decision to recognize Jerusalem as Israel's capital. It's caused a worldwide uproar. And it says in Psalms 2, the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together. They plot against the Lord and his anointed. But it says, but he who sits in the heavens laughs. For I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion, Jerusalem. How ironic. Since Israel's Jerusalem is a nation they do not even recognize, and that's the very place where God has appointed his king, the king of all the earth, Jerusalem, where he will one day return. And so we're witnessing the birth pangs of the Messiah, and prophecy is being fulfilled before our very eyes. But you know, the entire restoration of Israel, the land and the people, have been nothing less than a miracle. And you may be wondering, where am I going with all this? But in Ezekiel 36, verses 8 through 12, let's turn to the book of Ezekiel. It says, but you, mountains of Israel, you will shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit for my people Israel, for their return is near. For behold, I am for you. I will turn to you. You'll be tilled and sown. I will settle a large population upon you, the whole house of Israel, all of it. The cities will be inhabited. The desolate places will be built up. I will multiply men and beasts upon you. They will increase and multiply, be fruitful, and it will cause you to be inhabited as you were before. I will do better for you than at your beginning. You'll know that I am the Lord. And I will cause people, my people Israel, to walk upon you. They will possess you, and you will be their inheritance. You'll no longer deprive them of their children. And it goes on to say that, moreover, the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own deeds. So I poured out my fury on them and scattered them among the nations. And they were dispersed throughout the countries. I judged them according to their ways and their deeds. When they came to the nations, wherever they went, they profaned my holy name. But I had concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations wherever they went. And God said that he would bring about this restoration of land and the return, not for Israel's sake, but for his holy name's sake, which has been profaned among the nations wherever they went. God's doing this for the sake of his holy name. All that we're seeing witnessed in Israel today, the entire restoration, is for the sake of God's great name. God's concerned about the holiness of his name. Every day, God's name and Yeshua's are being profaned and become a curse word on the lips of millions of people. Every year, every day, I always hear someone cursing the name of God, cursing the name of Yeshua. God's going to restore the holiness of his great name. Ezekiel 36, verse 22. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says Adonai Elohim, I did not do this for your sake, house of Israel, but for my holy name, which you profaned among the nations wherever you went. I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned among them. The nations will know that I am Adonai. It is a declaration of Adonai when I am sanctified in you before their eyes. We know that there's the scriptures speak of a Gog-Magog war that is coming upon the earth. The Lord said he will make himself known in the eyes of all the nations. And he will once again, Va'ira, appear and protect his people from those nations who will come against Israel to try and destroy her. But Adonai will deliver Israel in such a supernatural way that Israel nor any other nation will be able to take credit for this great victory. He says, I will send fire on Magog and on those who live securely in the islands. Then they will know that I am Adonai. So I will make my holy name known among my people Israel. I will not let my holy name be profaned anymore. The nations will know that I am Adonai, the Holy One of Israel. Or I am Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, it is coming, it will be done. It's a declaration of Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh or Adonai. This is the day that I have spoken about. And it says, I will put my glory among the nations, and all the nations will see my judgment that I will execute and my hand that I will lay on them. The house of Israel will know that I am Adonai their God from that day onward. The nations will know that the house of Israel went into exile for their iniquity because they broke faith with me. So I hid my face from them and gave them into the hand of their enemies. And all of them fell by their sword. And they will know that I am Adonai their God, since it was I who caused them to go into exile among the nations, and I who will gather them back to their own land. I will never again leave them there. That's God's promise. And he's doing it for the sake of his holy name. So there's a time coming when heaven will again unleash plagues and signs revealing the power of God's great name. They'll be demonstrated to all the earth. The prophecies of the book of Revelation speak of a series of plagues, similar to what we witnessed, what Egypt witnessed during the time of Egypt. But they're coming to the earth, these plagues of judgment, to judge the nations and to prepare Israel for the national day of restoration. And witnesses like Moses will appear with power over the waters, turn them into blood, and to strike the earth with every plague as often as they desire. But when God has finished his judgment, when Messiah returns, it tells us in Revelation 19, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness, he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He had a name that no one knows except himself. And it says in Zechariah, and in that day the Lord will be one, and his name will be one. And there's a couple of verses I want to just end with. Proverbs 30 is kind of a riddle. We all know the answer to it. But who has ascended into heaven? Or descended? Who has gathered the winds in his fists? Who has bound the waters in a garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name, if you know? Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. And therefore, it says in Philippians 2, I will end with this, therefore God has all highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. The name of Yeshua, every knee will bow of those in heaven and those on earth and on those under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Yeshua HaMashiach is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every other name. That one day every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Yeshua is Lord. And so, Father, we thank you, God, for the holiness of your great name. Lord, that one day you will declare and magnify the holiness of your great name throughout all the earth. And Lord, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that you are Lord. And Father, we thank you for the demonstration of your power you've demonstrated throughout history. Lord, we look forward to again when you will appear once again. And you'll step again into time and history. And Lord God, you'll begin to reveal who you are and the wonder and the power of your great name. And so, Lord, thank you, God, as we worship you in spirit and in truth each week. Lord, we honor your name. We exalt you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We pray, Lord, that your name will not become a point of controversy in our hearts. Lord God, your name will become a place of exaltation and worship and honoring you for who you are. Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for setting us free from the spiritual Pharaoh of this world. Lord, thank you for what you're doing in our lives. And Lord, you've called each one of us for a very unique purpose in this generation. You've chosen for us to be alive in this generation, to witness what no other generation has ever seen. Lord, we're privileged to be alive today and to witness everything that has happened. Lord, you chose us before the foundation of the world. You predestined that we would be born at this appointed time. Lord God, help us to rise up to our calling and to recognize, God, that you have a great and mighty purpose for each one of us. Lord God, thank you for your love and thank you for all that you're doing in each one of our lives. May we truly, as a congregation, may we continue to fulfill our purpose and our calling and our destiny you've chosen each one of us to walk in. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.